message today. These are the presents you don't want to unwrap. Don't unwrap this present. And to help with this message today, I have to share a story of 12-year-old me. Now, you won't be able to imagine 12-year-old me because I was very naughty. I know you wouldn't think I was, but I had three brothers and I was naughtier than all my brothers. They call it strong-willed. I don't know what it was, but anyway, it was before I knew Jesus. But every Christmas, I'd go to the tree and I was a professional. I didn't just feel. I used to have a spare roll of sticky tape and everything in my pocket, and the boys would keep watch, and you know, we'd have the little sort of let's poke through here and what comes out. Well, one year when I was 12, this is what I thought came out. And those of you that know what they are, little doilies, I thought my mum had given them to me for my glory box. Well, from that minute onwards, I decided to boycott Christmas, and it wasn't going to happen. And I put a turn on, as I used to do, and I said, "You don't love me, you don't understand me, you don't know anything about me, and why would you give me such an ugly present? And I'm not unwrapping any of my presents this year because this is just as ugly." And Mum's like, "No, no, unwrap it, unwrap it, unwrap it." I'm like, "No, I'm not unwrapping it, it's ugly. I know what it is already anyway." "You do not know what it is." I said, "Yes, it is. It's a doily thing. I've already felt it and I can see through the thing it is." Well, I actually had to eat humble pie because it wasn't a doily thing. It actually was a coverall to go over the top of your togs. And it did look a little bit like a doily thing. I absolutely loved it. And there was a matching beach towel to go with it. So I didn't boycott Christmas. I ended up unwrapping all my presents and being okay and enjoying that present. But today, I want to encourage you, there's some things not to unwrap. You're going to get handed some things in the next couple of days. Do not unwrap them. Do not unwrap them. You might even get handed them the minute you walk out of here. And the very first one is comparison. Comparison. Just do not unwrap it. It comes in all shapes, all sizes, all different times of the year. But when it comes, I'm just encouraging you to say, "No, I'm not unwrapping that present. I'm not going to unwrap that one." Comparison is killing us, people. We're just like getting bombarded with this one, that one, this one, this one. Centuries ago, comparison was designed, but the way they would compare is would inspire them to create. So a village, a tribe would get together maybe once a year, you know, for festivals and feasts and things like that. And they would look at somebody else's armour or maybe their clothing or their transport, and it inspired them to actually create. But we are bombarded these days with imagery, not every hour, not every day, every minute. And we're constantly looking at what other people have, constantly looking. I actually think it stems back from when you were a small child and you all had little coloured cups lined up and Mum would put some juice in them. And what was the first thing we all said? "It's not fair. She got more than I did." We all did it. We all did it. I was thinking about this. And you know what we're actually saying? We're actually saying the juice giver doesn't have a clue what he or she's doing. The juice giver actually loves them more than they love me. And so therefore it's not fair in life. And that's what we do when we compare. In Exodus 20, it goes way back to the Old Testament in the commandments. And God says, do not envy, do not covet. That means desire what other people have. In this verse, I actually made it up. It's not in the Bible. "You shall not covet." Wish or desire is what it means. "For your neighbour's house, wife, husband, staff, cars, belongings, pool, holiday, body shape, lifestyle, hairstyle, furniture." We could go on and on and on and on. Stop wanting what someone else has. Because when we do that, we're actually not settling for, "God, you've given me this, and this is what you knew that I needed to be able to do what I need to do while I'm here." It says in Matthew 25, we've all read the parable. It's about the employer that goes away and he leaves money. It's quite large amounts of money to all of his employees. And it goes on to say, "A man was going on a journey. He called his servants together and entrusted them with his property. To one he gave 5 talents, the other 2, another 1 according to their ability." And it goes on to say, "He who also received the 1 talent came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and went and hid your money in the ground. Here, have what is yours. And the master rebukes him and says, you could have did something with what I gave you. I'd like to propose today that this was staff. So guess what? Staff talk. So they would have compared. What did he give you? How much do you get? Oh, how come you know the boss? Do you go over to his house? Oh, do you know where he lives? Oh, he doesn't do that for me. And they started to compare. And when this man that had the smaller amount compared, what he actually did was he shrunk back and did nothing with it. I challenge us today. What are you comparing yourself to? And you've looked at it and said, I have less than them, so guess what? I don't have to do anything with what I've got. And Jesus encourages us here to be you, to actually be who he has created you to be. He needs you to be you. Not comparing with somebody else what they have. I read something recently and it said when we compare, we actually don't know what chapter of the book somebody else is up to. We don't know if it's their first chapter, their middle chapter, the end chapter. We have no idea. We just get on social media and we go, how come I haven't had that, or how come I look like this? It's not only social media. Media has become that the world's shrunk and we look at everybody else in the world and look at things that they've got. So I'm really, really encouraged this year. Don't unwrap this one. Leave it. Leave it. Leave it there and say, I'm not unwrapping this one this year. I'm going to leave it. I'm going to leave it there and not unwrap it. Because the more time we spend complaining and comparing, the less time we have to create what God has for our future. The second one, not to unwrap, is stinking thinking. Leave it there. Leave it there. Don't unwrap this one. Just leave it there. It will come. Same thing again, in all shapes, all forms. And I decided, as you do, to look up the Google words with re, because to me they were all a bit negative. And so I looked up these words, and there's a list of them comes up. Regret, rejection, rehearse, regress, react, resentment, resist. And I looked up the Latin word for re, means again and again. So these are things that we're rehearsing. We're going over and over and over and over these negative words. But there also is a list of re words that are positive. And they're things like repair, refrain, restore, redeem, rest, renew, recover. And one of the ways that I get rid of this stinking thinking, one of the ways I don't unwrap this, is to say, what am I going to focus on? What am I going to focus on? Am I going to focus on that set of R words, or am I going to focus on this set of RE words? What am I going to focus on this year? And this is what we need to be able to be able to say, you know what? I'm not taking this. The Bible actually says that we are to choose life, not death. And it says that as we, in Deuteronomy 30:19, it says, choose this day life and death that you and your family might live. You know, the things that we speak, the thoughts that we choose, they're actually going to affect your family. They're going to affect the generations that come after you. And we have to watch the things that we're thinking. There's not one Bible character that didn't have stinking thinking, not one. Moses was insecure, Gideon, rejection. You know, they all had something. There was something there. Joseph was pride. And so it's not a new thing, this battle of the mind, but it's saying, okay, what am I going to do with this? And the Bible encourages us in Romans. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. I tell it like this. A little girl in an orphanage, and she's been adopted into a beautiful family. The family love her. They've given her all her own clothes, her own room. It's just full on. For what she's been used to, very full on. You know, that little girl, it'll take a long time for the orphanage to get out of her, even though she's out of the orphanage. Because she has to now think like a totally different little princess than what she was. She's going to be in doubt all the time. Are they going to go away? They told me to call me mummy, daddy. Are they going to go away? Are they going to leave me? Are the other children going to come and take from me? We're exactly the same. When we are adopted into God's family, we're exactly the same. We go, can this really be real? does really God really forgive when I do that? Can this really be real, that God loves me this much? And that's why we need to renew our mind. Keep the word of God in there. Keep the word of God in. Say, you know what? This has got to wash over my old thinking. Because I'm in a totally new family now. Totally new family. This one's a hard one for me. I find I write out confessions and I speak them. And sometimes I'll be totally honest. I don't believe a thing I'm reading. Don't believe a thing of it. I say it and, oh, yeah, okay, whatever. Then all of a sudden something will come out of my mouth. And I'll go, ooh. I actually am starting now to believe it. Something's connecting with the heart and the head. So God really wants us to renew our minds, not to open this one. Don't open this one up because there's no good in it. Absolutely no goodness. The third one not to open is anxiety. Anxiety. It says in Philippians 4, 6 to 8, be anxious for nothing. Guess what? It's not a new word. It's been around for over 2,000 years. It's been there forever. Anxiety. We've all of a sudden think it's a brand new word. I think God sort of knew what was happening a long way back there. But I do believe what has happened is a positive that we're bringing out cultural awareness to anxiety. But the negative is it brings cultural normality. It brings a normality that it's normal for everybody. And what bothers me the most is there's no difference in what I'll share a little minute, what they experienced in the 1900s to what they experience now. But the problem is our children are exposed to things they were never exposed to. They were never exposed. They were never meant to hear. In our day, children were seen and not heard. There was a lot of value in that because guess what? We didn't hear things we weren't big enough to hear. And kids these days are hearing so much more. So everybody thinks anxiety is in. Anxiety is an enemy that needs to be defeated. Simple as that. We all have it. We all share it, but it needs to be defeated. And as we look at anxiety for what it is and say, yes, it is there. Yes, but this is not normal. This is not how we have to live. We have to be able to say this is an enemy and we need to defeat it. We need to be able to say this is not happening on my watch. Adam and Eve, talk about a stressful day. Think about the most stressful day you've ever had. Think about the most stressful day you ever had. Know this, Adam and Eve? One son killed the other. One son killed the other. Now, I don't know, Andy, you'd be able to tell me. I'm not sure how many other brothers and sisters were around at that time, whether there was more. I don't even know what their law enforcement was at that time. But I do know they lost two sons that day. That's a stressful year. That's a bit of an anxiety attack. So if it's been around for that long, what do we do? Do we go, oh, okay, everyone's going to be anxious, things going to happen? No, we say, we're not taking this on. We are not taking this on. Just a little tip of some things that I've found with anxiety. Stop the input or reduce it at least. Sometimes you can't stop it. It's a season and you cannot stop it. But we can all reduce it. So when things, I shared in the first service that I'm studying psychology, and if there was a new term that I could study for anxiety, it would be car park anxiety. I do not like going near the car park. If you are feeling okay now, just don't go to Carindale when you're finished here. It's like, how come they all do the wrong thing and these parks are so skinny and I'm not meant to touch anything? And oh, it's just like, no, nah, not going there. So how do I get around that though? Reduce it. Reduce it. Don't go there. Don't go there if that's how you feel. We've got to be able to say, okay, these things happen. We know there's stresses in life, whatever it is for you. But be able to look at it. There's a great message, if you can listen to it, on Craig Rochelle. He talks about that it's not a time issue that we have. It's an energy issue. What drains your energy and what gives you energy? It's a great message. Just podcast it. And it talks about that just get rid of this anxiety. Reduce it however you can. So don't unwrap that one either. But I do have some good news for you today. I do have some wonderful things we can unwrap. Some amazing things that we actually can get into this Christmas and say, you know what, I need more of that. And the first one is his presence. His presence. It says in Psalm 16:11, "You make known the path of my life. In your presence is fullness of joy." I actually want to give this one out to someone. If you could just give that to a man. It's just a book on presents. I love giving presents out. I save them all at Christmas. I love getting presents. I save them all so I can open one every hour. My husband knows, give me lots of presents. I don't care what's even in it. When we were courting, he used to wrap up little boxes of sultanas, and he used to give me boxes of sultanas, and I was very happy with that, as long as I can open a present. There's a story behind that, because my mum forgot my birthday one year, but that's okay. So no one ever forgets my birthday ever again. They know weeks beforehand that my birthday's coming, and they know everybody knows the night before to give me something just in case they do forget. So, but I love my mum. It's all good. I can understand why she forgot this year. But in the presence of God, there's such fullness of joy. If I can give any plug for next year, it says where two or three are gathered, there I am. He is joy, he is love, he is rest, he is strength. Just get here more. Just get to church more. Get to life group. Do it with other people. And as you do that, then you sense more of his presence. More of his presence around your life. You know, make his presence a real thing. Real relationships have arguments. Real relationships yell at each other. It's okay to yell at God. You know, I don't really mind if my kids come and raid my fridge. I don't really mind, but I want them to be real with me. I want them to come. I want them to sit with me. I want them to be real with me. And God's exactly the same. So just really encouraging you this Christmas, but next year, take more of his presence. And say, you know what? That's something I'm going to take more of. And the next thing is gratefulness. This is an amazing one. This is an amazing one to unwrap, gratefulness. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:6, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Just a little tip of something that I do. I diarise when I'm going to spend time with God. I put it in my diary when I'm going to have fast times. I put it in my diary when I'm going to have extended times with God. I put it in my diary to write gratefulness lists. And I just do that because to me, I'm trying to create habits in my life that are good, and we diarise everything else. So just try putting it in there and say, you know what, I'm actually going to stop and think and go, what can I be thankful for? Many years ago, when we were doing children's ministry, we got transferred to Townsville and we had a bus business. And we sold that business with a handshake to a man. And he said, look, when you get back from your holiday, fill out all the paperwork. It was a really pivotal point of our life, because if we wouldn't have sold that business, things couldn't have happened for the plan that God had for our lives. We were driving through Tasmania with our children. And I can remember looking out the window. I can remember distinctly where I was. And we got a text saying this man was pulling out of buying the business. And we were both devastated, obviously. But I knew not to say anything. So I said nothing to my husband. He said nothing to me, which is odd for us because we live together 24/7, work together 24/7. But I'm like, shut your mouth, because what's going to come out is not going to be very good. And so we didn't say anything to each other. Driving along, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, go home and write everything you can be thankful for down. Everything. I wrote back at the accommodation, I wrote foolscap pages of thankful. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for that. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm so grateful for this in my life. We got home from our holiday and went to the home phone, went to the answering machine, and the very first message was this man that said, I've decided I'm now going to buy your business again. And from that time, God taught me that gift of being thankful. Just being so thankful is such a mighty, mighty weapon that just changed that entire situation right around. The devil hates gratefulness. He hates thankfulness. And this little gift is actually for a child, because it's a grateful journal. So I'd love you to give that to someone. That'd be great. Such a powerful, powerful, powerful thing to unwrap in your life. And the last thing to unwrap is faith. Faith. We have to unwrap this one a little bit more often. Just keep unwrapping the gifts that God's given us in our lives. You know, I don't know if you realise, but it actually is a little bit of a fight down here. There's a little bit of a fight or something going on down here. And it's not nice. You know, the Bible says when we get to heaven, it says, you know, you've fought the good fight of faith. It's a fight. We've got to take back some things that the enemy has stolen from us. You know, Bible says the enemy's come to kill, steal and destroy. From whom? From those that have got something. We've got peace, we've got love, we've got hope. Why do you think disappointment is so ugly? Because the enemy tries to get in to take those things from us that we know that are so valuable in our lives. So we need to be able to say, you're not taking my faith. You're not taking my family. You're not taking my finances. You're not taking this. We need to take it back with force. I can remember when I first wrote my book, which is available at the vintage store. In the beginning of the book, I said this adage. It said, someone and I came from the Lutheran Church when we first got saved 35 years ago. And in the Lutheran Church, I loved my background. I loved the background of growing up in the Lutheran Church. I've still got five generations still in the Lutheran Church. But it was very much so, you don't mention the devil, you don't say nothing about him, and he'll leave you alone. So when I got spirit-filled and learnt there was an enemy that I actually could fight, I was like, I don't like this. I actually said to someone many times, take me back to the Lutheran Church, take me back to the Lutheran Church. I didn't want to fight. That's not my nature. I'm just like, I don't like doing that. I don't want to fight. If we don't mention the devil, he'll go away. Then I realised he touched my kids. Aha. Now the mama bear come out of me. Don't touch my kids. And when he touched my kids, I realised there was this roar on the inside that come out of me and said, it was pretty good with the first two. That was okay. It was when the last kid came along, my boy. It was like, oh my goodness. I really can see now in the Old Testament where they try to take out that firstborn son. Hingley died at sea. He got lost at sea. Hingley amputated his leg in a motorbike accident. And now the devil was trying to take his spiritual. He got addicted to drugs and he was selling drugs. And I was like, this isn't happening. This is not happening on my watch. But you know that experience, God says to praise him through everything, that experience, I learnt what it was to fight in faith. I learnt what it was to fight in faith and said, you are not taking my kid. I didn't see thousands and thousands and thousands of kids say, for you to take my kid. This is not happening. And I've heard Jessie DePlantis' mum say the statement, if you didn't want to go to heaven, you shouldn't have been my child. Because I'm praying you're there whether you like it or not. And I'm a little bit like that with my kids. I say, well, if you didn't want to be there, you shouldn't have had me as your mum because that's going to change. And that's what we have to be like. You know, you're going to look at your life at the moment and say, you know, I'm in a fight. How do you know you're in a fight? You've got some battle scars. You've got some things there around your life that actually can tell that you've been punched. You've been knocked out. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's, you know, insecurity, whatever it is. It's saying, I'm not going to get knocked out on this one. This is not happening. Not happening. And so what do we do? What do we do when we're in a fight? Two things I do. The first thing I do is say, God, what weapon do I need to use? I ask him, I say, what weapon do I need to use here? This is an amazing thing to unwrap this next year. What weapon do I need to use? There's lots of different weapons. Fasting, sowing, forgiveness, gratefulness, thankfulness, praise. What weapon do I need to use? When my son went through that time, the Holy Spirit spoke to my husband and said, do not say one word to him, not one word. Oh my goodness. If someone wanted to, he could have called him for an idiot. It wouldn't have been pretty. And he had every right to. He was an amazing father. Amazing father to him. We thought we were wonderful parents. To this day, when I talk to my son, he goes, Mum, don't talk to me about it. It was not me. I do not want to discuss it. He says, but it had nothing to do with you and Dad. And I really encourage people here that have got prodigals because that encouraged me so much. He said, it had nothing to do with you and Dad. You did nothing wrong. And that so encourages me because you can imagine the stinking thinking I had. Oh, maybe we played with him too much. Or maybe we gave him too much. Or maybe all the stuff that goes on. But I did discover another little tip through that time. The more time I asked why, less time I got to hear how. The more time I was asking why did this happen, I didn't have any time to say, God, how do I fix this? How is this going to be fixed? Find your weapon. Find your weapon that's going to take the head off that giant. Find your weapon so that you can say, I know God can. Find that weapon and sharpen it and say, this is my weapon that I'm using in this season. This is the weapon that I'm using. The next thing is ask him what the next move is for you. Not for me, not for the person beside you, not even for your husband or your wife. What's the next move for you in this fight of faith? So I have a great little t-shirt to give here. It's got faith written on it. You can hand that to someone. Thanks, honey. So I just want to encourage you today. There's things we open this Christmas, there's things that we don't. There's things that are going to come your way the minute you walk out of here. I love my unchurched family very much, but I don't know why it is they press all your buttons at Christmas. You get there and you take a big breath. This is just something that we do. But what we do is we pray before we go, we believe before we go, and we say, God, he that's in me is greater than he that's in this atmosphere, than greater than alcoholism. It's greater than arguments. It's greater than disunity. And I'm going to go in there and I know, God, you're going to go before me. Because it's not an easy time for Christmas to be with friends and sometimes family that, you know, we don't often see. But God wants us to unwrap these things in our life. And as we unwrap these things in our lives, these are even really great gifts to re-gift. They're great re-gifts. Great re-gifts. I've been to parties, one that I can remember, and this man's opening his present. It was still written on the tag to him from somebody else. He'd sort of forgot to rub out the re-gift. But these are great gifts to re-gift. Re-gift these ones. But leave these ones here. Leave these ones here and say, you know what? They're not going to bring me any joy this year. You know, when you've got a ship, and I tried to look up this, if there's any marine people in the building, tell me later on what the answer is, but I wanted to look up how much a degree do you change in a ship. They say it's such a small amount to get to total different destination at the end. And today you might look at your life, you might be in a wonderful place today, God bless you, but you might be in a place where you want to change some things for next year. Don't try changing it all. Just take one little thing, one little change, and that can actually affect your whole destination, the whole journey, the whole direction that your life is going in. And just say, okay, God, which one are you speaking to me about? Which one are you speaking to me about so I could actually just apply this one to my life? Because God wants to see us grow. He wants to see us change. He wants to see us blossom, the same as any parent wants to see their children. You know, they want to see their children grow up and grow and be in the image of him. Don't be hard on yourself. Stop comparing. Stop comparing with everybody else. God made you you for a really special reason. I love seeing gifts in people's lives. When I see someone paint, I go, oh my, they must have had a different father than I did. Because my stick figure does not look like that. But when you see someone else do something that you do well, find out what you do well and find out what God has put you here for. Just as we close today, you can see my prop here. Can you imagine it? It's a cushion that has life written on it that didn't arrive from Amazon. The best gift that you can unwrap this Christmas is the gift of life. It's the gift of Jesus. That's the best thing you can unwrap. I know it's a silly season, but I get so excited that they're all actually celebrating Jesus and they don't even know it. I'm like, you don't even know what you're doing. I'm like, actually, it's quite funny, you know, but the best gift is knowing him. Knowing him. Most of us here have actually done that. We've actually said, you know what? Yep, I think I need Jesus on my boat. I think I need him in my life. But there might be visitors here that's never done that. Just as everybody closes their eyes, I'd just love to ask you today, do you know Jesus? And if you've never asked him into your life, it's really very simple. You just put your hand up. I pray for all of you just corporately. And then it's just between you and God to work out what the next step for that is in your life. Just asking you today, if you don't know him and you'd love to get to know him, you're saying, you know, I'm just a little bit tired of navigating this whole ship myself. I actually need someone on board that knows what they're doing. If that's you today, just love you to pop your head up so I can see it and put it down again. Yep, I can see that hand. Anybody else? Yep, I can see that hand. Thank you, honey. Pop it up, put it down. Yeah, anybody else today? Just pop your hand up. So that's me. Yep, I can see that hand. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you, Father. Let's linger a little bit longer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. You're awesome, the gift that you've given us of Jesus at Christmas. But you're more awesome that somehow that part of you gets to live inside of us. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Maybe today you didn't put your hand up, but you felt a real stirring in your heart. We're just going to say a prayer together. And that might be the first time you've ever said that prayer. Let's just say this with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming into my life today. For the first time or again. I love you. I ask you to forgive my sins. I ask you to walk with me, talk with me, and take me to heaven when I die. In your precious name. Oh, God, God's good.